Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and you may have noticed something a little different today if you're tuning into the program. Some of you on YouTube may have noticed something a little different just the other day as well, but just to let you know, I'm flying solo today. Brian was not expected to be with me today on this program anyways. We had decided not to. We were kind of like kicking the can around as to when we were going to do the late week episode, as we always try to come to you twice a week with some type of, you know, Steelers talk, Steelers stories, news. And the big news would have been if anyone opted out. And that deadline was yesterday, Thursday. So we were waiting to see if any other news had come through, the news wire here. So we get to, you know, Friday morning here. And we had the initial plans change with the person that we expected to have as a host in Brian's place. So I kind of told Brian, you know, hey, you got the day off and go do as you will. And then all of a sudden I was asking him, hey, you know, is there any chance we can get this done? And of course, it didn't end up happening. So you'll hear from Brian again. He's not missing an action or anything like that. It's just been tough for us, believe it or not. Even, you know, if we're working from home or primarily staying at home, it's still been tough for us to kind of get on the same page here. So I promise you, Brian's not in the doghouse or anything like that. Unfortunately, though, when it came to our music, those of you who heard on Tuesday's show, you may have caught it early if you're a subscriber to our channel. If you're not already on YouTube, please do. Even if you don't listen to it on YouTube, we wouldn't mind having an extra few digits there to look more important. It also helps us as leveraging and being as a YouTube partner, of which they give us a small little pittance of all those ads they ram down your throat. So, you know, based on that, I upload the Brad Lambert interview on Tuesday to YouTube. Now, everybody listening anywhere else didn't notice any change because I didn't make any changes. But now they're saying that the music that we had paid to have a license for is copyrighted and immediately block that video. And I imagine just the same way that they came in and took our channel completely offline back earlier this year. This stuff just kind of like, it makes my skin crawl. It irritates me more and frustrates me more than anything. It's very disappointing. So I don't know if they're going to retroactively go back and do anything that's going to take any other pennies out of our pocket. Trust me, you know, it's not like we're doing this for a living, and it's not like we're making like enough off of this, podcast through YouTube for these headaches to even be worthwhile. It's nice to not have to, you know, worry about a little bit of the overhead when it comes to producing these shows or operating the website and how these things get served. So we do appreciate, you know, your patronage. Those of you who signed up for a gold membership over on the website, I know there were a few others that have recently, $2 a month. That's always great too. And we're looking into like PayPal and Patreon, but we've never been people to beg for a dollar here. We're not interested in that. And even to that degree, just another note on the YouTube stuff, they had changed the entire upload process probably a couple months ago. And the whole thing, when you're tagging your programming, when you're eligible as we are to be a YouTube partner and to monetize or make money off of your videos, because there's tons of people who don't even make money off of these ads rolling. Well, they have options, but they're grayed out when you first upload. And when we have like an hour long show or so, it takes a while for it to process. We have to come back and manually pull what they call the mid rolls, those middle ads out, so they don't annoy you. So when you do catch those, if you end up jumping on the show right away or anything like that, trust me, I wouldn't want to listen to this crap in the middle of, you know, any type of audio programming myself. So we totally sympathize with you. It's not anything that we're doing intentionally just to try and make an extra buck here or there, because we're totally not like that. And it is. It's annoying. It's frustrating. And, you know, YouTube is one of these things where it's almost like a necessary evil because it's one of the larger platforms. And certainly we do appreciate everyone who puts up with some of their crap in order to listen to us here on that platform. So, but everybody that was on YouTube Tuesday, there was no intro music on the second version of the video that ended up coming out probably an hour after the first version with the Brad Lambert interview. And Brad, great guy too. Go back and listen to it if you have a chance. So with all of that said, I'm by myself today. I needed some things to talk about. I could have just said, Big Ben's not fat. So long, everybody. Have a good day. Here's the program note and 5 minutes. And yeah, you know, we like to deliver. We like to do a little bit more than that. So I'm like, what are some things we usually talk about this time of the year? Well, it would have been nice. We would have had a Hall of Fame game. We would have had to start a training camp. I would have already been out there several times. I would have gotten to see tomorrow, that is Saturday evening, it would have been Coach Cower and Troy Polamalu getting into the Hall of Fame, doing their induction speeches in Canton. Had some tickets for it. Brian was coming with me. We had like a whole like weekend planned around this whole thing. And, you know, that went down the drain, of course. So what else can we talk about? Oh, I think I already said Ben isn't fat. Boy, isn't that fun. Jay Glazer, man. we were talking about this with Brad on the last show, and he was the one that says Ben doesn't train. Ben doesn't do that. Look, we mentioned the word kids. You know, we mentioned guys younger. When you get a little bit older and you realize you got to do some stretching and some extra things because maybe you're too sedentary and you sit at a desk or you don't do the things that you used to do. When you're younger, you think you're invincible. You think you're bulletproof, right? You're untouchable. Nothing is going to harm you. Nothing's going to hurt you. Now you can't even roll out of bed. That's the way I feel sometimes. And that's obviously the way Ben's looking at extending his career. He used the word Lombardis multiple. So, I mean, this kind of tells you where you're going. And I know Mike Tomlin's great, man. Let me tell you, I can't put the Jell-O back in the box. One of the greatest quotes I ever heard. If you're not following some of the Steelers stuff on Steelers.com, please do. I don't know how much we're going to rehash here because obviously we don't have our own eyewitness accounts to, you know, get in the bubble or whatever be the case. And, you know, we could only follow pretty much the same way everyone else does. So we kind of assume you're paying attention there. And for those of you who don't, maybe we'll repeat some things, but we'll try not to just be repetitive and, you know, be those guys that take like a Mike Tomlin press conference and put out, you know, four or five podcasts on it, four or five articles on sound bites. But Tomlin did say he wanted Ben to have a little bit tighter of a spiral. Everyone else is like excited catching passes from him. You get some edited video on the Steelers website and on their social media of him throwing passes. And this should get you excited because nobody opted out. This is just how invested the team is. But what will that team look like? And that's where I'm going to come. I don't even know that I have this many hot takes. The last few years, this 53-man roster, and it is 53. I'm going to go through some of the rules here in a second just so I don't get flamed. And didn't they change the CBA? Yeah, they did and they didn't. Okay, it's 53. And basically how it works is you have an expanded practice squad, which got further expanded because of the whole coronavirus thing and some other concessions that were made, like getting rid of the preseason. And that's really what's going to make it difficult for a lot of these players to make the actual 53-man roster here. Now, the expanded practice squad, this will allow the Steelers to carry an additional six players. So they had 10 last year. It was going to get bumped to 12. I think there were concessions in here to even go to 14, but this year it's up to 16. They also have the COVID reserve list. Oh, let's cover that real quick. Once again, James Washington comes off that list. It doesn't mean that he had the COVID-19, the Rona, the virus, whatever you want to call it. But if he did, yeah, okay, obviously he's on that list for that reason. But maybe he was in contact with someone. Could be anybody. You never know. I don't know. Did he fly back into Pittsburgh? Did he go to a certain restaurant where they just shut down the next day and he had to report? Well, I don't want to name a restaurant just even for example because then somebody's going to believe that my example is for real and, you know, be like, I don't know, we're not going there. But he had the old sandwich somewhere and then all of a sudden he sees on Facebook the next day or Instagram or something that restaurant posts, oh, we had to close down, we had a concern with the coronavirus thing. They have to report these things. I'm not even sure he's allowed to go out and get a sandwich anywhere that he wants to. I love saying the word sandwich. These guys have some major rules for showing up. Vic Beasley just got fined $500,000 for not showing up for 10 days, and he has to take the tests and everything like that. So these guys have to be even more forthcoming with every little move that they're making this year. It's a real pain in the ass, if you ask me. But again, it's for everyone's health, everyone's safety, whatever side of the fence hopefully not the extremes, but whatever side of the fence you fall on with what you believe is being said about this virus, it could still affect someone's health. And as far as game days, you want all your players to be healthy. You want your best chance to win. Even dropping a game or two, you see how costly it is. Last year, losing that Ravens game off of that Marlon Humphrey forcing the fumble on Juju in overtime, or the fumble by Connor against the 49ers. You know, you flip one of those games and the Steelers are probably in the postseason, or they're out by virtue of a tiebreaker at the very worst. So getting back to all the rosters, yeah, you want people healthy, but it doesn't mean that James Washington was unhealthy. We don't know. There's, I don't want to say clandestine, but there's secrecy to this. There's privacy to this. So I'm going to respect their privacy, okay? And we'll just leave it at that. But he comes back on to whatever roster here. I'm assuming in this projection that all of these guys are healthy. No one's on any type of reserve list, because then you got a whole bunch of shuffling and moving around. Yes, the active roster can be bumped up to 55 on game days by bringing up two of your practice squad players. And then those players, they don't get cut and go to waivers like you would traditionally do. Those additional players just go right back to the practice squad. So it's not a catch-release thing. It's not the Ross Ventrone process where you call up the guy on Saturday, you have him on the team playing, Sunday he's on the roster, but maybe inactive, maybe he does play some special teams or something, and then Monday he's looking at a pink slip again, and then by Wednesday he's gone through the whole waiver process, and then he's back on the practice field with the Steelers in a new practice player contract. God, what a mess that is. And I have a feeling there was a lot of that is just the red tape. They just wanted to get rid of that. So it's just a little bit of this. I've only gone with 53. I'm not much as concerned who's the practice squad guys just yet. 16 of them, that's going to be an awful lot. That's going to cover a lot of bases. It was very, I say it's cut and dry for the most part. And not all, it's not always cut and dry on trying to make these projections. It's trying to figure out some of the numbers, some of the players who have experience, they're veterans, they have seniority, who's going to make it in these spots. So, the other thing, practice squad, they could protect four players too. So that means four players that don't get poached. Very interesting type of dynamics, especially when you took the roster from 90 to 80 to start this entire process and get everyone's feet wet, hopefully get them in condition to play football. So without further ado, who are the 53 players that I think will make the Steelers roster this year? Well, obviously Ben Roethlisberger. I think I let that cat out of the bag. As much as anybody wants to say anything about backup quarterbacks and this, that, and the other thing, I'm going to tell you right now, the guys who got experience last year with this team, actual regular season game day experience, Mason Rudolph is going to be the backup. This is the guy they invested the draft pick in. This is the guy they thought they had a first round grade on. He didn't always get to play with the best cast of supporting characters. So I think there's still some hope there that he could do some other stuff. Now, the crazy thing is that we're not going to get to see him or any of these other guys play preseason games. So that kind of like lack of competition both helps and hurts. Where it hurts is that Mason Rudolph hasn't thrown a pass since that Jets game in week 16. You know, in real competition, I should say. I know preseason isn't always real competition, but it's about as real as you're going to get, and it gets these guys some reps. That's where I think Duck Hodges also makes this team. You don't have – some teams don't even carry three quarterbacks. I bet they will this year. I bet they will this year, because there could be nothing worse than, say, your starting quarterback – goes on a 14-day quarantine, or at least misses one game, and then you're down to only two. You could even see a scenario where, I know they don't have Paxton Lynch making this team, but with 16 spots, they might just hold on to a fourth quarterback. Now, JT Barrett's already gone. I don't need to hear some of that noise. I'm an Ohio State guy, but it just is what it is, and that was just going to be a tough hill to climb anyways. So I do have Duck Hodges making it by virtue of he made it last year as a camp arm, as a guy who came into a rookie camp undrafted, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, he made some errors. Yes, he has some shortcomings. He's the third quarterback. Nothing can hurt. He's not going to hurt anything. Where I do see something here, though, is Mike Tomlin loves his former first rounders. Not the guys that he necessarily drafts or he's in the process of drafting or the Steelers draft, but anyone from other teams that may have a first round pedigree. Joe Hayden, Tyson Alualu. You see many of these guys. Mark Barron last year, right? So, Paxton Lynch, if this is a guy in the initial process 4 years ago, 5 years ago, that they were looking at and they feel he has any kind of maturity and then they think that other teams may have overlooked him, he may sneak on there as the third guy. But it doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be as protected as maybe Duck Hodges. Duck Hodges goes to the practice squad. I think some other team may take a stab at him. Maybe. So with that said, the running backs is what really gets interesting. And I mean, when you're dealing with injuries at this position, as James Conner had been banged up over the years, you had Benny Snell banged up last year. Jalen Samuels, not necessarily an every down back, utility, kind of jack of all trades, master of none type player. All those guys are going to make the team, by the way. Anthony McFarland, rookie from Maryland, I expect him to make the team. Derek Watt, I'm going to put the fullback in here too. I have five players at this position. There's some guys on the outside looking in, but Wendell Smallwood, I know they brought him on. Seemed a little strange, veteran player. Also an undrafted guy, formerly of the Eagles, pass-catching type back. I'm not really sure what kind of role he could play. I don't know if this was kind of maybe an insurance policy in case one of these aforementioned running backs opted out on the season. We have no idea of seeing how his role might be or how he may fit in if he ends up on the practice squad. Same thing for Terrell's brother, Trey, who had gotten some playing time last year as well and has been pretty much a practice squad guy for his whole NFL career, at least with the Steelers. It's just Kareth White, another guy that got some playing time last year. There's just a lot of names here. And when you're investing the draft capital that you got, James Conner is still a guy that's a year removed from Pro Bowl, okay? I know the Pro Bowl, we say it tongue-in-cheek, but it's still meant to be the best of the best, even if it's the top third. But when you get some of the guys who are uninvited and that are brought in as replacement players, Conner wasn't a replacement guy. He was on fire that year. You give him the same kind of offense, he could stay healthy, maybe even limit his reps and get some of these other guys worked in. Benny Snell, they're not burning a draft pick on Snell last year without thinking he has some type of potential or maybe looking toward a future without James Conner. And ditto for Anthony McFarland as well. Derek Watt, obviously, the only fullback on the roster. So I think five there is a safe bet. The receivers is where I couldn't find anywhere else on the roster where I would have had somebody sneak in and make the team. The receivers is where I have it. I have six receivers. And I know this is going to maybe ruffle some feathers, but obviously you got Juju, James Washington, Deontay Johnson. Those two, wow, they could be looking for a breakout year. Juju could be looking for a bounce back year. You add the rookie Chase Claypool, Mapletron. That's a pretty exciting pick too. But how soon does he get on the field? That's my question here. That's where I see still Deion Kane, somebody that could be a playmaker, could get on the field, has a little bit of experience, might play some special teams. Ryan Switzer, yes. Yes. Contract year. Okay, off of his rookie deal. Fourth season. Ben likes him. An extra guy that you could have out there, four wide receiver sets. You could have two slots. I know Juju operates out of the slot too. You might put Deontay on the outside. Deontay and these guys, they play all over the place. So Ryan Switzer, more of a dedicated slot guy. He had already come out and said he wanted to be among the best of the best, like a Wes Welker or, oh, geez, who was the other guy that he had mentioned? Somebody else from the Patriots, maybe Julian Edelman or somebody like that. But it was just like, geez, guy, you got to have like 100 targets coming your way, not like 10. So, you know, slow down, slow your roll there. He's lost his special teams gig to Deontay. So that's kind of concerning when you're talking about a roster projection and whether or not he can make the team. That's kind of what happened to Eli Rogers the year before. So those are the two names to look at, Ryan Switzer and Deion Kane. I don't see the Steelers not having five wide receivers. So I think Deion Kane could be the odd man out just based on utility. We'll see what Chase Claypool brings to the table. I almost wanted to kick one of these over to the tight end spot. I thought it would have been too hot of a take. I think there's going to be a battle, not between Vance McDonald and Eric Ebron. Those guys are going to see their time. But I'm thinking much like the running backs, and you have, and I've been a big supporter of Vance McDonald. I've been telling everybody that your perception of his playing time isn't necessarily in line with how much he does play or play hurt. Eric Ebron, also a guy that's coming off injury, was banged up before, has some past, with missing games, just like McDonald. What does that leave you with? Just Zach Gentry. They added Dax Raymond, that was formerly of the Bears, who had like 10 tight ends on their roster. Dax Raymond, I do think he competes with Zach Gentry, but does he compete for the Steelers to keep four tight ends? I don't know what you do with four tight ends. I think that's you're too rich there if you're sacrificing another position in order to keep a fourth tight end. So that's the reason why I didn't do it here. Would you really sacrifice a receiver for another tight end? I mean, if you got guys that are always banged up, maybe so. But is Dax Raymond the guy that you could tuck away on the practice squad? Is he a guy that you could protect as one of those four? Maybe. I think that's something that can happen. You still have Kevin Rader, formerly my alma mater, Youngstown State, more of a blocking guy. They kept him around on the practice squad last year, too. I don't know that I necessarily see him as an active roster guy, but just something to keep, you know, these are the guys that carry their lunch pail, the blue-collar types that Tomlin also likes. So keep your eye on this position battle. I have 9 offensive linemen. Alejandro Villanueva, Stefan Wisniewski, Marquise Pouncey, David DeCastro, Matt Filer. Those are pretty much the guys that may be starting. We don't know if Filer is going to be a guard or if he's going to remain at the right tackle spot. So that could be Chukwuma, Okorafor, or Zach Banner even. You have last year's draft pick, Derwin Gray, 7th rounder, I believe. And Kevin Dotson, 4th rounder this year, rookie. Those are your 9. I don't know what to say about some of the undrafted guys, because like last year I was like, well, Fred Johnson was undrafted and look, he actually ended up playing with the Bengals. Steelers, due to injuries, couldn't keep him on their active roster and he got poached from their practice squad. So unfortunate, because he did make the initial 53, I believe, but I have 9 offensive linemen. I think any of the other guys, a lot of them are in the like Jerron Jones, who's been like a journeyman type guy, practice squad guy with other teams. I think that's the type of player that maybe, if eligible, obviously, may find himself in that same position too as well. So the Steelers will have maybe another offensive lineman or two stashed away. Oh, that's the other concession with this, being able to call up the extra roster spots. Let me see if I can find this real quick. Beginning with the 2020 regular season, the active list shall be increased from, this is game day. By the way, this is game day, 46 actives, right? From 46 players per club to 48 per club, provided, however, that such a club's active list includes a minimum of 8 players whose primary playing position is center, guard, or tackle, collectively offensive linemen. And that's something that they've been looking at, too, because usually you're running, you know, a skeleton crew. You get one injury on the offensive line, you're starting to sweat. You get 2, now you're in trouble. So we'll see with that. The defensive linemen. This was a little challenging. They have a lot more depth here, especially towards the bottom, well, even towards the top, than what I was, you know, when I initially looked at this, I'm like, yeah, this is pretty cut and dry. And it's like Cam Hayward, Stephon Tuitt, Tyson Alulu, Chris Wormley, Dan McCullers, who has improved. He keeps improving. Hey, remember, he's out there in special teams units primarily. He's getting the job done there. Isaiah Bugs came in last year. I think he competes for a spot. So there's your 6. Kayvon Walker, XFL guy. Where did Kayvon come from? Was he the Maryland guy? And then Carlos Davis. So you got some guys here, Carlos Davis being drafted in the 7th round this year. You got some guys here who, by virtue of their college links and roots, like a Maryland or an Alabama, you've got coaches that know these guys. Maybe not necessarily directly coach them, but may have some input on what they've seen in practices and game day situations to be able to say, hey, you know what? Hey, Kevin Colbert. Hey, Mike. We should take a look at this Kayvon Walker. Yeah? So luckily XFL put a spotlight on a few of these guys to be able to get a second opportunity. It's just unfortunate now that you don't have preseason games to really know what they may be capable of doing and able of doing in an actual game situation, preseason or not. That's kind of where I'm at, leaving Tuzar Skipper out of the outside linebackers. I have a total of 8 linebackers. Linebackers any year can be 8 to 10. We're always like debating this. It just seems odd is the best way I can maybe describe this. I got 4 and 4 here. I'll explain why, because when we get into the safeties, I think we got somebody that's kind of a hybrid, or maybe guys that might be playing a little bit more in those defensive sub-packages to where maybe the Steelers don't retain as many. I think they had 9 last year. See, Tuzar Skipper was a guy, did he make the roster and then get cut, or is the other way around and then he ended up with the Giants, they ended up back. So that's one of the ones. But when you have Bud Dupree and TJ Watt, and these guys, they're going to be making some bank over the next few years. Those are your starters outside linebacker. Your depth now becomes your third round pick in Alex Highsmith out of Charlotte. Ola Adeniyi also there as well, another blue chipper, formerly of Toledo, just like Skipper was. So I'm not sure. Like, you go back to what I was saying about wide receivers. Do you toss an extra linebacker in? I'm not really sure. You get Devin Bush, Vince Williams, Ulysses Gilbert, and Robert Spillane. Robert Spillane was a practice squad guy who moved up into a more prominent role toward the end of last season. And he's somebody that, how bad or worse are you going to do? The guy is going to be doing more special teams work than anything, like a Tyler Matakevich, who has since gone, moved on to the Buffalo Bills. You got some names that are in here as far as your linebackers. Let me see. Who else is on the team? Leo Lewis, James Lockhart. Boy, is that everybody? I know they just, I believe they just cut John Houston. So I'm trying to see. Sometimes they just have generic labels on the roster too. But anyway, those are my eight. And this could change because we don't know who other teams may be releasing. So you may get somebody that the Steelers kind of coveted or keeping an eye on another battle with another team somewhere else. Somebody maybe they can, make a late round trade for, like trade away a seventh round pick in order to jump up if they feel somebody else on the waiver wire may be claiming this player. So they may add to this, but based on the way the roster and the way training camp is structured right now, I only have the eight linebackers. I have five corners. This should be fairly obvious. Joe Hayden, Steven Nelson, Mike Hilton, Cam Sutton, Justin Lane. Bing, bang, boom. Justin Lane will be, hopefully he'll be coming off of that COVID reserve list. The safeties, I also have, five. Minka Fitzpatrick, Terrell Edmonds, Jordan Dangerfield. Talk about a guy that's been on and off the practice squad and over the years a veteran. This is where you get a little more scared with the safety depth. I don't necessarily have Marcus Allen making this team just because of how he's been on and off the roster too. Dangerfield, primarily a special teams guy. That's the same way I feel Curtis Riley might be. But Curtis Riley got an awful lot of playing time. He's 2 years removed from basically being a starter with the New York Giants. He goes over to the Raiders and falls from grace. And, you know, we've seen that happen with many players when they go to the Raiders. So we'll see. I don't necessarily know what John Gruden is just mixing and doing everything in order to find that right formula. Or he's just wasting everyone's time and cash into $10 million a year. Antoine Brooks, the rookie, another Maryland guy. These are my hybrid guys here. We don't know how this is going to end up turning out, especially with Brooks. This is the reason why I think the Steelers can afford to have five safeties. Typically 10 defensive backs isn't unusual for this team, especially when you're talking about a week one depth chart or roster. Things start to shift when you have injuries or players, you're kind of holding the spot for a guy. This happened many, many years ago. Remember Senquez Golson, a second round pick? Everybody was excited. They finally went and got a corner, and a guy could never get on the field. They waited until like late October before placing him on injured reserve, and they were constantly playing a shell game with other players trying to just retain that roster spot and get the guy right on the field the next week, and it just never materialized. So, but I still feel the 10 DBs here split evenly 5 and 5 is a pretty safe bet. You got your three specialists, Chris Boswell, Jordan Berry, and Cam Kanaday. Now, Cam Kanaday's a long snapper. I don't know that he has any competition in camp this year, but Corliss Waitman is sitting there from Southern Alabama, a punter, rookie. If he shows any kind of promise, Jordan Berry's got to look over his shoulder. All the kickers usually do. We talk about this all the time. This is a position that is thin on every team. You don't keep backups. Somebody has a poor game, maybe they get excused. They have another poor game. They might lose their job. They lose their jobs to injuries a lot of times too. So this is just something to monitor. It doesn't really impact the 53. You're going to switch. It's going to be one or the other, right? So I don't know. The only other spots, I think I already mentioned, one name I didn't mention was J.C. Hassenauer, who also plays center. I was trying to figure out who could be the backup center if Marquise Pouncey goes down, and I'd been B.J. Finney for many years. The Steelers signed Stefan Wisniewski, who has experience playing as a center, starting center in the NFL, as a guard now. We're going to see how that might work. He may be the guy that's called upon for depth. They may not want to hold another player there and have 10 offensive linemen just to have somebody. And trust me, Hassenauer is probably going to play anywhere along the line that he can in order to not only make the NFL team. He'll do whatever's asked of him. The question is whether or not he can. And we'll see. It's another one of these guys that if they make the 53, it's like who comes off and who's going to get poached by another team. A little bit of a shorter episode here, but kind of straight to the point. I don't know that Brian will disagree much with this at all. I think I'm going to kick it over to him and allow him to give his own opinions and let him fly solo. I'm going to get to take a break and go sit under the palm trees, get a nice little drink with the little umbrella in it. I'm not going to tell you what the drink is. That might be inappropriate. But but anyways, folks, I hope you enjoyed. I hope you liked the new theme song, so to speak. And hopefully our friends over at YouTube, again, I say that very lightly, friends, I hope that they don't keep playing shenanigans with all of our content. We have like 610 podcasts lifetime, maybe more than that. That was the last check. And it's just like, hey, look, when there's something from back in like March in 2017, I'm not going to remember if we said or did or linked to something or whatever that was that wasn't against the terms of service then as it would be now. So we do appreciate all our listeners out there. We appreciate all the supporters. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. My name is Joe. I hope you enjoy your weekend. We're going to have some more Steelers news, Steelers camp stuff, etc. coming back at you early next week. Until next time, we encourage everyone out there to be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.